Acts chapter 27, quickly. And we're looking at the six things that to do in times of emergency, and we started looking at this last week. And what I just want to talk on, just want to add a few things to it, and then the last 2 weeks we'll talk about developing your human spirit and understanding how to be led by the Spirit so that you can pick up things. Because your spirit man or your inner man, as the Bible says, calls him the inner man. He's just like the outward man. He has ears, he has eyes, all right? He can see, he can hear, talks about, he can smell, talks about the fragrance and all of that. So once we understand how to develop that man, right, then we'll be able to have, all right, that other ability to be able to pick up things and perceive things coming in the realm of the spirit and to be able to function properly in it. So we saw in Acts chapter 27 here that the first thing, all right, we looked at the example of Paul getting into a time of great emergency. And there was no way out. They were on the high seas, no help coming from anybody, anywhere, all right? No sight of the sun nor the star or any star in 2 weeks. And you are just there in the midst of crisis. You can't make a phone call. Nobody knows you are out there, all right? There were no telephones, no way to communicate, no email. And that was a real desperate situation. There were six things that Paul did during that time that got them out of it and turned the situation completely around. And so we're looking at the six things. The first thing we said was that in verse 10, he said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be to much hurt and damage, not only of the laden and ship, but of our lives." We said the first thing is this. Anytime there is any form of danger coming ahead, the way God preserves us, the way he protects us is by warning us, by instructing us, by guiding us there. And so we get ourselves into trouble when we don't listen to our spirit, when we don't cultivate the habit of listening to what is going on in our hearts, what our hearts are telling us, or we are not decisive about the things that they tell us. We still think that it's just a matter of choice, that it's almost like just an opinion, and we don't understand the far-reaching effect of disobeying and nudging that is inside your heart. Very, very important. So we said, step number one, make sure you listen to your heart. Men run into serious trouble by not listening, and men get out of serious trouble by listening their way out. All right, you get into trouble because you didn't listen. You get out of trouble because you listen. Right? Step number two, we said this. What Paul did when they ran into trouble, the Bible tells us in verse 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not to have lust from Crete and to have gained this harm and damage. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship, for there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord." So we've said the second thing is, right, take God's promise into prayer and stay in prayer until you get instructions and until God informs you concerning that particular situation. Pray for mercy and stay in prayer until you receive definite instructions concerning that situation. These are instructions that are for that situation only, to be used during that time for that particular situation, and cannot be transferred to anybody, or cannot be transferred, all right, to the next season. Neither can you use those set of instructions to even fulfill that same promise in your life 4 years down the line, because this is God's instruction to you and his information for that particular moment. And it's important that we know the prayer we ought to pray. We have said it in Psalm 32. It says, "So shall he that is godly pray in a time when thou shalt be found." In other words, humble yourself before God. All right, if this message on righteousness destroyed anything in modern Christianity, it took away humility before God. Men now start feeling that they know as much as God knows. The fact that something doesn't seem wrong to you doesn't make it right. The fact that you think you haven't done anything wrong doesn't mean you haven't done anything wrong. All right? And that was Job's problem. He was saying, I cannot see anything that I've done wrong, until Elihu spoke and God showed up and said, Job, you are asking that I dot the I's and cross the T's with you. If you ask for that, then I will ask you in three chapters things about life that you don't know anything about. The fact that it doesn't seem like you missed something doesn't mean you did not miss something. All right? So we go back to God in prayer. And the prayer is to come and obtain mercy from Him when we find ourselves there. That God, all right, and that's what God was telling Job. He said, mercy. If you ask for mercy here, then I will give you the instructions to get out. And the only thing God told Job to do that turned his whole situation around, Job had done several things, was just pray for your friends. To show, all right, the excellence of God's wisdom. All he told him to do was just pray for your three friends. And the Bible says all the captivity of Job was turned around. Right? So if you can come and tell me that you are at a wedding feast and the wine finishes in the feast, and your suggestion to get wine will be fill the pots here, all right, with water, which means get all the empty bottles. This is how you're going to get wine. Fill it with water. Then go and start pouring it, and water will come out. Then I know you know as much as wine will come out. Then you know as much as God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Then you didn't sin by not knowing that you should fill pots with water. Do you get what I'm saying here? But that was what God intended for that situation. You just did not know. So you say, what's going on? We are saying that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Anytime you find yourself in that kind of situation, you missed something. Not that you committed transgression, all right, but you omitted many times what God wanted done in that particular place. So a lot of times people don't pray that prayer, Psalm 32. They say, well, you know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, my sins are forgiven, and say all these proud, proud things. And you know what David said? He said, my moisture is turned to the drought of summer. Your hands were heavy upon me. In other words, things were going well in my life. There was moisture, there was rainfall, and then it's now turned into a season of drought. And Christians are going through this. They have stagnated, going around in circles over and over. And there's too much pride to go to God and say, God, all right, where have I missed it now? All right, teach me, open my eyes. And God says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way that you should go. In other words, you didn't know the way you should go. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah? You need to be taught. If I come to meet you and I said I want to teach you the alphabet, you say, which alphabet? I say, English, ABC. You say, you can't teach me that. I already know that. In other words, if somebody's going to teach you, he's telling you what you don't know. So God says, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to open up your eyes, I'm going to show you things. And it's a great place to be in life. All right? I mean, I kept hearing this very successful man. They said, what's the key to success? Get the ego out of your life. And I agree with him. Right? Get that pride out. Be open. Be willing to learn. Go to God. He is the creator of all things. God came to Job. He said, Job, come. He called some stars. He said, how did those stars come into existence? You say you know as much as I know? He said, okay, come. The sand you are working on, do you know how much wealth is in it? Job was now looking. Three chapters. Then Job said, I heard of thee with the hearing of my ear. Now with my eyes, I can see you. All right? So it's important that you pray that. Go to God in prayer. Romans chapter 4 tells us, blessed is that man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. It quoted Psalm 32 when it was describing the righteousness that is of faith. And it says that what they did was that the Bible says, so shall he that is godly will pray unto thee in a time where thou may be found. It says, the water shall not come near thee, thou art my hiding place. We quoted that scripture. So, second thing we said, stay in the place of prayer, all right, until you get information. Not just the written promise of God concerning it, but God tells you what to do. And you'll hear that as a covenant. And it comes into a covenant with you concerning that thing. Hearing God that way is entering into a covenant with Him about that specific thing. So Paul went to God in prayer, and God said, here is my covenant to you. You must stand before Caesar and you must preach before Caesar, that you cannot die here. He didn't quote a scripture to him. He said, you must preach. It's part of the program that I have for you, all right, on this earth. You have to preach to Caesar, right? So God told him that, and he got that information from God. So we said, step number two, stay in prayer. Don't start guessing, throwing things around. Stay in prayer until, take scriptures to God. Take the Psalms to God, we said this. And then pray that until information comes from heaven. And then you can walk in the light. All right, the Bible says you will do well to take heed unto the more sure word of prophecy in scripture as a light that shines in a dark place. It says, but something has to happen to that light. The day must dawn, right? So you stay in prayer. That's what Elijah did. He heard the sound of the abundance of rain. He stayed in prayer until the day dawned. For Jesus said, you cannot walk while it's night. You can't walk in truth that is just a flicker of light in your heart. You have to pray it that thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Revelation shows you God's will in heaven. Pray that, get the breakthrough, and then you walk in the power of that truth, and God begins to instruct and to guide you. Step number three, we said this, once you hear, act like someone who believes. In other words, when God has answered prayer, no longer pray about it. Once he has given you the information and told you what to do, quit praying and begin to act, all right, on what he has told you. Paul didn't go back into prayer. He said, let us get ready for what is coming ahead. Speak out that word he has given to you now, out, all right, of your lips. Change the atmosphere around your life. Take it away from one, all right, of crisis mode and depression and sorrow, and change it, all right, to one that indicates what is coming within your life. This is where leadership is called for. Take leadership, all right, over the situation. Don't let any other person lead that situation. You are the one in crisis, you must lead. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You are the one there, you must lead. So you have to start leading. Okay? All right? People don't come and then you sit down as though you are so confused, right? Now, you don't talk when you're in head, but once you hear, start leading. Right? Don't let people come to me now. I'm telling you, there's this uncle of mine. I'm telling you, no. You start leading there. Paul was leading when he was in prison. He was there. He said, I do not want you to faint at my tribulation. This is for your glory. He said, listen, I know this shall turn. He was the one that was bound, telling them that they shouldn't give up, they shouldn't lose heart. That, look, don't get discouraged because I'm in prison. Now, you are the one in prison, but he was leading those churches out of prison, demonstrating strength because he was in communication with God concerning what he was going through, and he was receiving information from God. So he was able to say, this is how these things will turn out. So make sure you take leadership, all right? Don't let the circumstance lead you, all right? Take leadership, set the pace, dictate the tune, and inspire confidence in other people. Change what is going on, right, within the environment. Now, I do understand, when stuff happens, we lose things. And the Bible says we should grieve, but we shouldn't just grieve. I'm coming to that, that's why I say it. As those that have no hope, that don't have God in this world. So yes, but the human nature, we have this attachment to things in the past. And sometimes we linger, we stay too long, all right, on things that have gone wrong and allow people to keep us in those places. Now, if you want to succeed and excel, right, now I'm saying this without any apologies here today, you must be quick on your feet in disconnecting from the old. Now, it is not an emotional thing. It's not what very few people understand it on the earth. Most people are tuned towards, you know, we keep doing all that. But you, if you are going to excel, you must be able to disconnect and move on to the next thing. Few people understand this, but it's a great secret to life. All right? People might not understand, say, well, you know, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. Somebody broke up with you, you should be crying for the next 2 years. You shouldn't be crying for 2 years. You should cry very well for that day. Cry small again the next day. By 1 week, dry your ears, all right? Change yourself and look out for the next great guy that is coming into your life. Are you following what I'm saying? Let them say you are on a rebound. That's your problem. We invite you to the wedding, be saying rebound, you'll be saying rebound. 30 years when our grandchildren are there, you'll be saying rebound. Do you understand what I'm saying? Move on with your life. All right? People like to linger on, oh, you're in trouble. You know, they'll come and tell you. In fact, I tell you this, people can cry more than the person who is. I was saying this. It's not bread for people that don't want to succeed big time. All right? Some of you drag death into places. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? Something happened in the office. The children know about it. You have dragged an office matter. The small children are carrying the burden of your office. What is your problem? Keep death where death is. Are you following what I'm saying here? Some of you carry things too long. Some of you have even told your children the guy who broke up with you when you were in school. What is all that? Let me tell you this story here. I read this in a newspaper in England, Daily Mail. Very powerful story. Now I forgot that. Many years ago, I put it in one of them. There was a woman, she said, and you know, few women, people are really truthful about things in their life and are transparent. Very powerful moment. She said she went for the wedding of her niece. And when she got there, she was with her two daughters. And her cousin, like her first cousin's daughter, was getting married. And she said, as she saw her cousin's daughter walk down the aisle and the father, the cousin's husband, walking down, and she saw her two daughters beside her who were much older than their cousin but were still single, that day she understood the mistake she made. She said her husband did something, and the husband of her cousin did the same thing. She refused to forgive and fought and scattered the marriage. But her cousin, she saw about 4 years later, handle it more maturely and keep it. Said when she saw her daughter getting married and her own two daughters were single, she knew that her error, she had infused it into those girls. They were now afraid of men. Said that day I saw my sin and my nakedness. I couldn't tell them I am the one responsible for you people being single. But as I saw, you don't carry your own matter. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And start spreading death around. But I said this first service. If the breadwinner in a family dies and people are crying, and they are crying deeply, you have to ask two questions. Is it the love of the person or the loss of the bread? Because you can be crying for two reasons. So sometimes it's not love that is bringing the tears. It's the other one. In other words, if money was coming from another place, the crying would have stopped. So they said they sacked you and you are crying. Is it the love for your staff and colleagues at work that you will miss? Or is it the salary that you are crying aggrieved about? Because we ask you that you are so grieved, like that company was your own company. If somebody was going to pay you four times that money before they sacked you, you'll have said, I'm moving on. I've been there. I've gone. So dictate the tune, inspire. You know, sometimes Christians can be naive. I'm not saying this. All right? But understand this truth, and we'll try and get to it. Listen to this. Don't ever forget this. No matter what happens in your life, no matter how bad you have been cut down, it is always the branches, it is always the fruit, it is always the stem, the roots are still intact. Do you understand what I'm saying? The roots, which means the roots of that experience is intact in the ground. When Nebuchadnezzar, your situation can't be this bad, who was the ruler and the king, was now eaten with beasts and animals. It's like saying the richest man now in Lagos, we see him at the refuse dump eating with pigs. Daniel told him, God told Daniel, tell him that he will be in that place. But the roots of his kingdom are still in the ground. Other people are taking over. He said, but tell him that when the day he knows that the heavens doth rule, he said, that kingdom shall be restored back unto him. In other words, the day you look up to heaven and say, God, start directing me, you will know that the essence of your life was not touched by the crisis. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right. Step number four, God's voice is his covenant to you, that voice you heard. Obey it to the letter. Don't get distracted when people suggest other options. We saw that. They started saying jump out and all of this. Don't. Then step five, return to normalcy. As fast as possible, God has heard your prayer. He has answered the prayer. Stop praying about that particular thing. Once he has given you the information, move your life in the direction of what is coming next, which is the answer he has given and not what happened in the past. So start moving your life towards that particular point. Start taking steps, all right, towards that particular point there. If God tells you, all right, at that particular place there, he speaks to you, okay, all right, and says, well, you lost your job, you're going to get set up, you're going to go into business. Now, start moving towards that, right? Go to some management school, register to do some courses. Are you following what I'm saying here? Begin to prepare yourself, right, for the next level that you're going through, for the new place, all right, that you are. Return to normalcy as fast as possible. Don't start practicing detachment, right, where you start withdrawing from people. Don't start practicing resignation, which means that you resign from people and everything and cut off everything and isolation. And start saying things like, you know, all the places where you could, you know, connect and with people and all of that, or your support structure, you pull out of all of that, pull out of coming to church, pull out of all these things, right? And go, those are the things that keep people in those places for years. Don't practice that. Now, this is the attitude that you must have. And these are the things I want to add, all right, before going to the aspect next week. When you are in a desperate situation, understand that the foundation of your victory is found in this word hope. What does this mean? No matter how bad it seems, there is a better life after it. Your future still holds much more than anything your past has given you. Do you understand what we're saying here? We are saying that there is hope. In other words, no matter what happens, you say, well, everything collapsed. I am, you know, 400 million naira in debt. I am saying that there are massive open doors, right? There is, God has prepared a city for you where you will not be ashamed. Where he says, when you get to where I am taking you to, you will say that Jesus is truly Lord. There is more. Nobody has more in the past than in their future. There is nothing in Christianity like the good old days. The best is still ahead. For you to say the past was better is to deny Jesus his high priestly ministry. He's the high priest of good things to come. If you stay in there, if you hold on to that hope, I'll show this here. If you maintain your confession even when your head is in a spin, of the fact that, as David said, he said, I will have fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In other words, there is something better ahead of you.
Thank you for listening.